From olderandwiser.com, it's the Baby Boomer News of the Week. I'm Susan Sikora.
And I'm Bob Bates. Singer Neil Young says Donald Trump misappropriated his song.
There will finally be a woman's face on American currency, but not without some complaining.
Oh, yeah. And we'll list the top 10 cities to retire in America. L.A. is not one of them.
Yeah, not up here in Northern California either. That and some other stuff. Today on the Baby Boomer News of the Week.
Well, there was a very tragic story leading the news all this week from Charleston, South Carolina, and that is, of course, the shooting at the Emmanuel AMA Church. Dylan Roof, he was a 21-year-old guy who just walked into the church with a gun and gunned down nine people. Nine innocent people. Shocking story. And I guess the big question that's circulating around through the media this week really is whether this is the act of one crazy mental patient, or does it really signal something about the racial attitudes that are happening in America?
You know what? I think it's a little of both. Maybe a lot of both. It's obscene, number one.
It's obscene.
I mean, it's abhorrent behavior. It's obscene. It's amazing to me that this still happens. In 2015, we're still talking about this stuff, because then we go to the racial stuff. He went into a historically black church and shot all African-American victims.
Well, and he had expressed his racial attitudes to people in his life. So there was no question that racism motivated this guy to do what he did.
Yeah, I mean, it's still there.
And but it was at a level of craziness. It's at a level that is, it really, he should be in a mental institution.
Well, you know what, though, Bob? Go back into the 60s, and, you know, you and I are boomers, and so I was a little too young to be maybe marching or going someplace on my own. But looking at something, and I go, wait a minute. Didn't all that happen? Aren't we any farther along than this? You know, it is racially motivated. People still see it as them and us.
We could be isolated here on the West Coast in Los Angeles and you in Northern California and San Francisco. It's a different cultural climate here than it is perhaps in the South.
Well, the South is different. I have relatives who live in the South. My in-laws are there. My sister-in-law's there. And, you know, the Southern hospitality, no question. People are really nice. If somebody's sick or somebody passes in your family, they're there with the casserole at the door almost immediately. On the other hand, politically, there's a lot of residue still. And it's unfortunate because...
And you'll see Confederate flags on the highway.
Oh, my gosh. I was in Columbia visiting. We're in the car, and we're driving down a street, and I see this Confederate flag waving on a great big, you know, like
it's
the American
everywhere.
Flag would be.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what? Are you kidding me? It reminds us of a section in our history about which, frankly, we should be very ashamed.
And it reminds us that things haven't changed perhaps as much as, you know, those in New York and L.A. and some of the major cities might feel like it's all better now. It's not all better now.
No, it's not. Yeah, no. And why cling to the past with this flag? I think the flag should come down just as a matter of doing the honorable thing.
Tragic day in Charleston, tragic week. Horrible. This is going to go on for a while. So a very, very, very sad situation there. All right. Let's talk about Donald Trump. Now, Donald announced his candidacy for president this week, which is so hard to believe. I mean, what was your reaction? Did you just say, are you kidding me? Is this a stunt for television?
Here we go again. Sorry. Been there, done that, hurt. Did we dance to this song before? No.
The comedians on all the late night shows are just thrilled, of course, because it becomes a wealth of material.
Mm-hmm. I suppose. As long as it's not the same stuff all over again. He's run for office before. I forget how many times by now. I've lost track.
And yet, I don't think we have a lot to worry about. Donald Trump can't win this election, so he's not going to be our next president.
He's not the Bernie Sanders of the Republican side, that's for sure.
It certainly does present us with some jokes. And one late night comedian said, I believe, he felt it was unfair for the writing staff because he was going to have to lay them off because all the jokes were writing themselves.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so the big question this week with Donald Trump, when Donald came out, you know, his staff played on the loudspeaker system a Neil Young song, Rockin' in the Free World. And I guess it made for a grand entrance for...
And a big show.
A big show for Donald Trump. The problem was they didn't ask Neil if it was okay first. And they just cleared it with ASCAP BMI, apparently, which is something you can do. You can pay for, legally, technically pay for the rights to play a piece of music on the air without, you're not really talking to the artist. But if you're running for president, don't you want to be sure that the guy who's singing your anthem is a supporter?
You think? You know, the ASCAP thing, I think you and I probably both had this experience when we worked in television and put pieces together. If you used music behind something, you had to make sure that the station that you worked for where you were doing this piece was legit with ASCAP and had paid the fees or whatever, and then you could use whatever was sanctioned under that. If you didn't, then either you'd have to choose another song or pay another fee.
Yeah.
However, even if they paid the fee, it does beg the question of common sense here. Why would you play a song from somebody whose political views are much different than yours?
They're going to come out and speak badly about you. In fact, as it turns out, Neil Young is a Bernie Sanders supporter.
That's right, and this couldn't, Sanders couldn't be more opposed to Donald Trump, and, you know, so of course.
I mean, that was just a dumb bonehead mistake.
Why didn't Donald Trump go hire some Republican music writer who could use a job and have him write something? It's not like he can't afford it.
Well, you know, all these politicians have these anthems, you know, that Clinton did it, and they've all done it, where they've got some pop song that's a little bit middle America, might be a little bit country, might be a little, but it's, you know, it's acceptable to everybody.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, you know, fires up the crowd when he comes out and they play this great song.
Sure.
But you don't just pick it and put it out there without finding out if the artist is on board.
Well, apparently if you're Donald Trump, you do. But you know what? I'm thinking to myself, he knows he's probably not going to win. But let's assume that he was in it to win it, all right?
Do you think...
It's a dumb choice, I think.
Do you think Donald Trump is in it to win it?
Do I?
Yeah. Is he that ill-advised?
I think he's egotistical enough to... Some part of him thinks maybe he could, but I think, practically speaking, he knows that this is not going to happen, but it's a lot of him. It's a lot of attention for him in the meantime.
I did see an article last week about the fact that candidates who run who don't have a chance actually come out okay in the end. Now they give up a year's worth of their work salaries. Mm-hmm. They spend a lot of money, of course.
I saw that too.
Did you? And but yet they have like 6 years of potential value after the fact, like on talk shows, they can get their own, I mean, but get their own CNN channel. You know, I mean, it's the books that they write suddenly become more popular. So even though he may feel like he can't win, he somehow could be sort of calculating the long-term value of running for office.
Sure. It's a year of almost free, in a way, public relations, although you're spending money traveling and putting ads out and all of that. But if you give up your salary, as many of these folks do, they must think, well, okay, as long as I can get through 1 year without my regular paycheck, how many more years am I going to get of a lot more money if I can make it through this year? I can't imagine wanting to go on a campaign trail unless you really want to do this.
No.
But with Donald Trump, it shines a big spotlight on him for a while. And I don't know how much people are paying attention to what he's doing on TV anymore or
anyplace
else.
You're absolutely right about that. He likes to have a spotlight
shined
on him.
He likes the spotlight. He's not shy. He's not afraid to go on the air with anybody.
Yeah.
You know.
And
yes.
So this is one guarantee that his opinion will be heard over and over and over. He will appear on the Sunday morning news shows. He'll talk on CNN. He'll be all over the dial with his opinions about what should happen in America. And if for no other reason than having his voice be heard, you know, maybe that's why he's running.
Well, when they get up to 300 candidates on the Republican side and Fox News says to them, you know what, we can't fit you all on stage. We're only picking a bunch for the, you know, the debate. And Donald Trump, if Donald Trump doesn't get in there, you'll hear more about that.
Oh, you know what? Listen, CNN will find a way to fit Donald Trump on the stage. He's the star power right there. I would watch a debate with Donald Trump in it just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Just for the fun of it. Yeah. All right, let's talk next about what's happening with the $10 bill.
Goodness. Now it's 10. Remember it was 20?
Well, this is a controversy, actually. Obviously, you have heard the news that it's been announced that they will be replacing the Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill with a woman. And it's going to happen in the next 5 years. By 2020, they'll be printing $10 bills with a woman's face on it. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I always wonder, as I do about anything, everything that seems simple takes so long. Why can't you just start printing these bills now? That's number one.
Well, first of all, you got to decide who it's going to be. That's going to take 5 years.
But once they take, why does it have to take 5 years?
Well, they got to discuss it.
People gave them ideas. Everybody came up with all this stuff. Who was there? There was a woman that was chosen. I'm trying to remember who the heck it was. I mean, it was everybody from Sacagawea
Harriet Tubman's running in the front.
My gosh, why not? You know?
Right.
So that's number one. Secondly, Jackson he owned slaves, didn't he?
Okay, now that's the flip side of this controversy. Here's an item from the Huffington Post. The headline is Anti-Slavery Hamilton gets pushed off the $10 bill while genocidal slaver Jackson stays on the 20.
Yeah, and the genocidal also probably goes to what he did to the Native Americans as well. All right, so we have a guy who's abused the Native Americans, taken their land, and done a lot of other reprehensible things to them.
And he had slaves.
Yeah. And here we are, of course, back to what we
And he's on the 20, about. Right? He's got his own $20 bill. So we're leaving him in place, and we're taking off Alexander Hamilton.
Did do any of those things. So now here's my question, though. I think some of it was that the $10 bills are used more than the $20 bills, okay?
I think it's the other way around. Listen, what do you get when you go to an ATM machine?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Somebody in the Huffington Post piece, it had a line I love. It says, and now that nobody uses cash, a woman will finally get a spot on the dollar bill. Here's what I say.
That's right.
Stop all of this. Take all the guys off of all the bills. They've had their turn. Say goodnight, Gracie, and put women on everything. Start with George Washington.
I love that
idea. Put Martha on for Washington, at least. So we'll know what we're doing here, okay? And then maybe Abe Lincoln. He'd be a tough one to get rid of because everybody loves Abe. But you can keep him. He can be the token man. Hey.
Well, he can stay on the $1 bill because we certainly are going to be needing those for a while.
Yeah, well, for sure. But I'm still saying you could move some of these other guys off. I like Ben Franklin. I like Abe Lincoln.
Do you think ultimately we are going to get rid of paper money altogether?
Eventually, maybe, but I don't know. Depends on what the people who have the most of it want.
I guess there will always be the need to be able to hand off money to somebody you don't want to have your financial information.
Well, I'm trying to think of when the last time was I used money.
Well, what if you're a donation at the church or you're buying a check.
I'll write a check there. If I want a paper copy of something, I will write a check.
You write checks.
Once in a while, I do. Especially, okay. I'll tell you.
This is another discussion we could have at some point about senior citizens and writing checks.
No.
And I don't mean this to be sexist at all, but it does seem to be a trend of some sort that women write checks and men use cards. Now, what's the deal with that?
I don't know because I do not write a check. I used to write checks because I wanted to keep track of what I was spending, and it was an easy way to do it for me then.
Yeah.
Then, but that's years. I mean, now years ago. Now I use the card.
Yeah.
I just zip my card through, and that's it.
Yeah, I think it does make more sense. It seems logical. You're among the logical types. It just seems that the handwriting of a check at the cash register makes me crazy in a grocery store.
Yeah, no, I don't do that anymore. I used to do it a lot, and now I don't. You know when I did it? I used to do it after Christmas. If my spending went a little nuts at Christmas time, and then I decided, oh my gosh, I got all these bills. January, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to only write checks and not use credit cards. So it forced me to get away from putting things on credit.
No, I get that.
And I did it.
Yeah,
you know, but not anymore. I just take it because it just comes right out of your account.
I wonder if Brian Williams writes checks.
Oh, Brian Williams can do whatever he wants. He has enough money, and now he's got another job.
Yep, the news came out this week. I guess we realized it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Brian Williams will not return to the NBC Nightly News. Yeah. No big surprise, right?
I heard he's going to be on MSNBC.
Well, now, in a way, does MSNBC have lower journalistic credentials? Is that the deal?
I think it's another place to put him. They probably can pay him a little bit less, but say, you know, we're going to give you a job.
Well, wait, but just from a purely argumentative standpoint, mm-hmm. he's not journalistically capable of anchoring the NBC Nightly News, but somehow he is journalistically capable of anchoring the MSNBC news. So
I don't
my
know
question
if he's
is
going to anchor there.
I'm assuming he will.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling that I don't know what his new role is going to be there. I assume he would do some kind of anchoring. They're going to let him sit in a chair and talk to the camera.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine that they wouldn't, because that's how people relate to him. That he's journalistic unable. Did you say journalistically unable? Because I don't think that's the case. I think he's journalistically.
He's damaged journalistically.
Damaged. He's damaged goods on NBC.
So I guess my point is, if he's not good enough for he's not good enough for NBC Nightly News, but he is good enough for their cable channel, suggesting that somehow the cable channel doesn't require the same level of journalism.
I don't know. It depends, I guess, on who watches that. And I'm guessing that they probably have some information saying that NBC and MSNBC maybe have two different audiences.
I guess if I was a professional journalist and I worked at MSNBC, I would feel like, oh, great, send him over here, the liar.
Mm-hmm. Well,
since we don't tell the truth anyway over here, might as well put him with us.
Well, I don't know that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's the case. I don't think they try not to tell the truth. But I think there must be somebody who either is sitting in the anchor desk. And again, I don't watch MSNBC. But if I did, there's somebody there or somebody who thinks that that chair should be his or hers next. And now, guess what? You're out of the way if he's going to occupy it. You know what? This guy had a $50 million 5-year deal. I mean,
we got to use him somewhere.
I'm not worried about Brian Williams.
He'll be okay.
I can worry about Brian Williams is not on the list.
Not worried. Well, Pope Francis is worried.
Yes,
I'm telling you, he's worried about climate change, and he's voicing his opinion. Popes don't always voice their opinions in a big way about political things, but it's always kind of news when they do. CNN reports Pope Francis says revolution needed to combat climate change.
Yeah, now he did this in an encyclical, and for those non-Catholics out there, this is usually a letter written by the Pope. It doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it's usually a hopefully well thought out treatise on some issue in the Catholic Church.
Oh.
I think this Pope is more global, though, and has been. He's on. Let's remember, this Pope has a Twitter account. Okay,
and he doesn't do it himself.
His timing
course.
Is good.
Come on, he isn't sitting around with his Samsung Galaxy 4 up in Pope in his Pope mobile, you know, twittering.
Listen,
people.
The Popes up until now lived in some foofy place in the Vatican, and he said, wait, here's a more simple apartment. I'll live there. I don't need all this fancy stuff. He's a very simple man in many ways, but he's not just somebody who's not thinking. He's not an ignorant person. He's a Jesuit. Let's remember that one, too.
Another he doesn't cook his own food, do you think, does he?
You know what? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I bet the Pope could make toast. Maybe you should run a poll on that. Do you think Pope Francis can make toast? I bet he can.
Do you think popes are ever by themselves? Do you think they just go up to their room and they're by themselves? Or do you think they always have someone around them all the time?
Can't believe you're asking me this. Like I would know. A Catholic woman is the last person to know what a Pope does in his spare time. I think there is probably some spare time that's alone, sure.
I bet there's things.
You can always say I have to pray and meditate.
I bet he eats things, too, that he'd be embarrassed for us to know about.
Well, I wonder if the Pope picks out on potato chips. But here's the deal with this thing, with this
encyclical. Yeah, sorry.
It called it on the care of the of our common home. And the fact that he did it now and not, you know, 1 week after he became Pope, he's a rock star almost. A lot of Republicans might be saying, "Ooh, now what do we do? We can't. Who wants to be seen not liking this Pope?"
Oh, I see what you're saying. So having the Pope kind of chime in on the climate change thing is really helpful in the whole discussion.
I think it's helpful because people know who he is now. He likes people. He touches people. I mean, he must drive his security people nuts when he's in a parade or something or going down the street. But he'll pick up babies and he'll shake hands and he'll give people hugs.
Hopefully the people whose baby he picks up handed him the baby.
No, no priest would pick up a baby uninvited at this point if he's got a brain in his head. But that's
a weird direction to go into.
But he's a Jesuit. And the reason I bring that up is because everybody within Catholic confines generally knows, and people outside too know, the Jesuits are a teaching community. They're very big on education. I don't think you'd be hard pressed to find a dumb Jesuit.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, he's real serious about this climate.
Done his homework.
His quote here was, "Doomsday predictions can no longer be met with irony or disdain."
Right, and he calls everybody out on being a throwaway consumer culture and putting profit before good. And he appears to support boycotts.
All right, let's move on. This item from Time.com, it's actually from about a week and a half ago, but I saved it because I always like to look ahead to the future.
Headline, you're packing?
I'm packing. at least I have some things in boxes. New York is the worst city to retire is the headline.
Not surprising.
Yeah, not surprising. So basically, Time has listed the top 10 cities where it's a good places to retire, mm-hmm. for the income, for the healthcare, for the taxes, weather, all that stuff. They've kind of combined them. And several of these cities, I got to tell you, very predictable. They're mostly in Arizona.
Yeah, well, now, here's the deal, too, with Arizona. I mean, they said in there, if you want to retire, well, set out for Arizona because they've got really good weather. Wait, time out. I've been to Arizona in the summer. And when it's 109, 10, or 11 degrees out, you have not experienced that, let me tell you. You'll want to go inside to air conditioning very quickly.
It's going to be warm. I think people live there for the because you don't have your allergies, your seasonal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you do need your air conditioning. But there's some very good communities where seniors can live at an affordable price. You know,
it is more affordable there. I think they overbuilt. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of housing there. You can get a lot of house for your money compared certainly to California, as we know. But and New York City, forget it. You got to rent and it's still not affordable. But with Phoenix, you could probably afford to be there. But make sure that you set aside some of your fixed income at that point, if you're retiring, for your air conditioning bill. Because it will be blasting 24/7.
It will be a lot. It will be a lot. I just recently visited Scottsdale for the first time.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And you know what? Even hotel accommodations are quite reasonable in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Get
it's
some good
there.
Deals. Good deals. Yeah,
it's
good deals.
Yep.
Okay, here's the countdown. Number 10, Franklin, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know much about Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Better in the summer than in the winter. Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Colorado's nice. Now, it's Colorado's nice interesting. They didn't say anything that they now have legalized pot. I wonder if that's going to be a factor.
You know, that could be an issue for some baby boomers, especially those who may have certain illnesses that are medicated with cannabis. It's possible. Yeah.
I think you could probably
do that anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's easier to acquire, I'll bet you.
But if you want to use it recreationally or if you want to start a little side business, I understand people who are growing it and selling it are doing very well.
Number 8, Cape Coral, Florida.
Too hot and humid.
I've been there. It is hot, but lovely. Austin, mm-hmm. Texas. Haven't been to Austin.
No. Is that now? Texas has had some flooding. Has it gone through Austin? I don't remember.
I don't I don't know. I do know that people who I know who visited Austin really enjoy it. They've got a downtown section that's very vibrant and cool. Mm-hmm. Number six, Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, well, Denver, there you go. There's Colorado twice.
Yeah, been there. Mm-hmm. Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think if you live up in that Midwest quadrant, perhaps Des Moines might be a nice way to go.
Yeah, and you could probably sit down and actually have a face-to-face cup of coffee with somebody who plans to run for president every couple of years.
Ah, you get the first shot at the president in Iowa. Mm-hmm. That's right. Good idea.
Big there, yeah.
Number four is Tucson, mm-hmm. Arizona. I've been to Old Town Tucson, where they celebrate the Cowboys. And it's charming, Tucson. Yeah. And Prescott, number three. Yeah.
Sedona won't be on there, by the way. Sedona is more pricey.
It's a little more pricey.
It's beautiful, but it's a tourist
trap. That's just north of Phoenix, I think. Mm-hmm. Or is it? Yeah, yeah.
Drive from Phoenix.
And midway between. No, that's south of Santa Fe, New Mexico, isn't it?
Oh, if this is a geography test, I'm leaving.
Oh, dear. Get my map out. Number two, Arlington, Alexandria, Virginia.
Hmm.
Now, Arlington, Virginia is sort of the suburbs of Washington, D.C., I believe.
Yes. And by the way, Washington, D.C., if the weather is similar in Arlington, I'm guessing it is if you think a lot of places are hot and humid, because Washington, D.C., I think it's out of swampland. I mean, it's hot and humid. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one is the Phoenix metro area, including Mesa and Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
I would move to Scottsdale. That would be my choice. I love Scottsdale.
Scottsdale would be, yeah.
Very charming and manageable downtown area. I believe they have some fairly decent public transportation, shuttle buses and stuff like that.
And that's important. And walkability is also important. And also the crime rate is important because, you know, when you're older, you want to deal with all that stuff. I mean, you don't want to deal with that at any age, frankly.
Yeah.
The weather, I think, is important because I think if you're older, you have to stay mobile. This is what I keep saying over and over. And it's easier to stay mobile in a nice climate, a moderate climate, rather than if it's too hot or certainly if it's snowy. You know, you don't want to go out and slip on the ice and then break a hip and here we go.
And that's going to be the toughest for people living in New York. Listed as the worst city, New York City. Also, Little Rock, Arkansas, for some reason, is not a good place. Ooh. And don't go to New Haven, Connecticut either.
It's probably pricey.
No, or Buffalo, New York. Don't want to go there.
You better love snow in Buffalo.
Oh, you get sucked in for the winter. Ooh. You'd never get out of there.
Talking a lot of snow.
It'd be a nightmare.
Forget it.
Well, maybe we're lucky we live where we live, and maybe sometimes we just have to be happy with what we have and where we're living. I'm okay with Los Angeles. I'll stay here for a little while.
Well, I'd stay where I am as long as I could.
Yeah. Well, as we pack up our bags and get ready to move to some retirement community, I guess we should pack up our little bags and say goodbye for today.
Well, yeah. Can I just give a shout out to the Warriors?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. They won the NBA. I mean, I am not a sports freak, as you know, but yeah. I watched these games and they were really well done. And I have to say, I haven't seen anything. I mean, they're having the parade even as we tape now, but I haven't seen anything that would indicate that there was any bad sportsmanship. People shook hands with other teammates, with the opposing teammates.
That's what you want.
I think that's nice.
That's what you want. Good sportsmanship. Great to have you with us. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Check us out on Older and Wiser.